Welcome to this online worship service with St. Stephen's United Church. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome. We're glad you're here. We've had a bit of a change up this week. Fiona is off today, and so you get me. For much of the service, I'm afraid you'll have had your fill of me by the time we're done today. The delight for me is I get to welcome you, and I get to do this, our traditional greeting, and that's a special chance for me to do that. So I'm grateful for that today. We hope you have a sense of God welcoming you to this time of worship, and that this will be a time for you to really connect and focus on God and have a sense of God smiling on you. So take your time to engage with what we're about today. Take time to listen, to be still, and to rejoice in God's love for us. Today, we are going to start a new tradition at St. Stephen's. As most of you probably know, coming up on September 30th, this week, is a new statutory holiday in Canada. It's the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. A day we are intentionally as a nation setting aside to remember the legacy of one of our not better parts of our history, the legacy of the residential schools. So we hope and encourage you to take time on Thursday to remember those whose lives have been impacted by the residential schools, both those who actually were in the schools and the generations that have come after them that still feel the impact of that whole experience. While we have done so on occasion here at St. Stephen's, the board in its wisdom decided that this would be a good time, high time, for us to begin acknowledging regularly the land on which we gather. And so today I want to start by saying that we are honored to gather and to serve on the traditional lands of the Qualicum First Nation. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples, and to honor their values and the land that they have called home for thousands of years. Now, if you have a candle in your home that you have a practice of lighting at this point, I invite you to join me in lighting as I light our Christ candle here in the sanctuary. Please join me in our call to worship for today. We gather to worship the God of freedom and to receive gifts of deep emotion, deep wisdom, and deep love. We gather to worship the God of justice and to share in God's dream of abundant life for all. We gather as a community to praise God, to seek transformation, and to celebrate the power of the Spirit of God who is always moving among us. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Will you join me in saying together now our prayer of confession? Merciful God, you call us to be salt of the earth and light of the world. We confess that our witness is often bland and gloomy. Forgive us when we fail to be an influence for good, and when we condone or do what is wrong in your sight. Help us to flavor the earth with righteousness and to reflect the light of your love in a dark world. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Friends, the Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds those who are falling and raises those who are bowed down. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 through to 50. John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As you likely know, we often, not always, but often, follow along with a three-year prescribed cycle of readings from the scriptures called the Revised Common Lectionary, Following the lectionary is actually a bit of a discipline. And one of the upsides to that discipline is that it can help us to engage with a range of different parts of the biblical story. And it can also sometimes protect us from the natural human tendency of wanting to avoid the more challenging parts. Often, not always. One of the downsides of the lectionary, though, is that it can actually skip over sections of Scripture that can be helpful for us as we read and study. And today's reading actually helps us to be a bit aware of this downside. Let me explain why. As we heard, today's passage begins with the disciples reporting to Jesus about a person who had been, in their estimation, performing some unsanctioned exorcisms. Now, it's good to know that not very long before this, the disciples had actually run into their own problems in this area. In a section from just earlier in this same chapter, a section the lectionary actually skips over, we hear about Jesus healing a boy who had been possessed by a spirit. Well, what's interesting for us to know as we come to our reading for today is that the disciples themselves had actually prayed for that boy, but had been unable to set him free. So Jesus had stepped in and gotten the job done. I kind of wonder if their struggle with that exorcism might be a bit behind their complaint to Jesus about this other fellow. Maybe it had them a little testy about others performing exorcisms in Jesus' name. Perhaps they were a little bit defensive about the whole area and really didn't like the idea of someone from outside their inner circle showing them up. So they complained to Jesus about him. "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." Those are telling words. Do you think it's possible they were actually hoping Jesus would applaud them for putting a stop to this? Well, we don't know for sure, but I suspect they might have. At any rate, Jesus obviously recognizes this as yet another teachable moment for the disciples. There seems to have been a bit of a run on them recently. I can actually remember in theological school being afraid to speak up at times. I was worried that if I did, something I would say would actually inadvertently show my professors how little I knew and actually understood. I kind of wonder if the disciples might have felt this way with Jesus at times. So often they would say something, and he seems to just jump on it and recognize it as an opportunity to get them straightened out in some important area. That was certainly the case, again, with the exchange we've read about today. Their concern about someone from outside their group of 12 doing what Jesus had given them authority to do brought on a bit of an extended lecture. Jesus urged them to see that people who are doing miracles in his name are not working against them or in competition with them. He says they're welcome to do so. And they can actually expect a reward for their efforts. He also warns his disciples not to let their actions make it more difficult for others who might be discovering faith in Jesus and maybe even deciding to follow in his way. He urges the disciples to get rid of anything within them that might create a problem like this. And he uses some vivid exaggerations to make his point. If your hand causes you to stumble, then cut it off. Jesus is concerned that his disciples' actions and attitudes might actually get in the way of other people being drawn towards him. And so he warns them about it. In this case, he can see that they're actually developing a bit of a territorial attitude that will not be helpful in his mission. So he tells them to get rid of it, nip it in the bud, before it creates a problem and starts driving people away. Well, before we judge them too harshly, it might be wise to ask ourselves some difficult questions. Like, do we do this? Do we think that somehow we are in competition with other churches? Even worse, do we somehow deep down think we're a little bit better than other churches or other denominations? Do we ever let that kind of thinking or that attitude shape our actions? Is anyone but me a little bit wiggly right now? It's all too easy to fall into that trap, isn't it? Especially in a time when people's commitment to church and congregational life has been declining. And we're hearing all sorts of dire predictions about the future of the church. Well, today's lesson is not too hard to find, is it? In our reading, Jesus clearly seems to be saying to them and to us that it is very, very important for us to stop this kind of thinking. It's not helpful to us, and it's really not helpful to others. It's based in fear, actually, not in faith. And it's just the kind of thinking that people who are trying to live towards God's kingdom should guard against. I've read some teachers on this passage who encourage us to get past this idea of us being in competition with other Christians by reminding us that we actually all have a common enemy. We're all fighting against powers that oppose God in this great cosmic battle that's been going on since the beginning of time. Well, sometimes it can be helpful to remember this. There's nothing like having a common enemy to galvanize people together. However, at the risk of going where angels fear to tread, I wonder if there might be another way to move us beyond these competitive territorial attitudes, a way that doesn't play so much to our common fears, but rather calls us to our common commitment and our common hope. God has a mission in this world. You've heard me say this. God is in the process of restoring and redeeming humankind and the rest of God's creation so that one day we might all become part of the great dream God has had for this grand project since it all began. This is the incredible hope of our faith. And since Jesus called and commissioned these first disciples, it has been the mission of every Christian community to join in this work as Christ calls us to. That means all of the Christian church shares this mission, regardless of the name over the door, the flavor of our worship services, the languages we speak or don't. All of the church, period. So when we are thinking we're in competition with other churches, it really makes no sense. If you think about it, it makes no sense to us, and it certainly makes no sense to God, and it makes no sense to the people who are outside the Christian church watching us. In fact, sometimes in our history, that very behavior and attitude has ended up causing people to stumble, even causing great pain. And it's turned people away, not just from the church, but from Christ himself. So friends, our message today is quite simple and clear. While I completely understand the temptation to worry about how we are stacking up compared to our neighboring churches, and believe me, as a person who's taken on the role of being a senior minister of a church in a pandemic times and trying to figure out how to do all of this in these times, I really do understand that temptation. But let's not do it, okay? Let's encourage each other not to let ourselves think this way. Even more, let's not let that kind of thinking shape our decision-making and our actions. Let's faithfully be who we are, who God has created and called us to be. Let's embrace opportunities that come along to support and to partner with other churches when and where they make sense. I've been actually blessed to be part of a number of ministries where people from various churches have come together to work together on some part of God's mission. And they've always been wonderful, rich times. My experiences in those actually has me thinking that God really likes it when his children play nicely together. Even more than that, St. Stephen's, let's pray. Pray for the life and the work of our neighboring churches. A few years ago, when I was doing the apprentice studies with some folks from here, we were asked in one of our sessions to pray for all of the churches in our community individually and by name. And we did that together. And I must tell you, we all had the sense that there was something very special about doing that. We all said it. It surprised us. The only way I can describe it is that it felt right. Jesus is big on unity. And he has said that when people can see us together as one, that they become convinced of who he is. And even more, they're convinced of God's love for all of us. So today I want to ask you to do something. Would you join me this week in praying for all of the churches in our community? If you don't live here in Parksville Qualicum, I ask you to pray for the churches in your community. God knows we could all use the prayer. This is not an easy time for churches. So I hope that you will join me in this, in praying for our brothers and sisters in the churches, in the communities around us, for their life, for their hope, and for their part in the mission of God that we are all called to be a part of. Amen. Friends, let's say together our prayers for today. Gracious and loving God, we come before you now with prayers in our hearts for so many people and situations, pains and challenges, joys and thanksgivings. We bring you prayers for sustaining and guiding grace for those who lead our nations, our provinces, our municipalities, our schools, our churches, and our families. As you poured out your love in the Word, may we hear your Word and follow. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts lead us to you and help us to live in your way. Holy One, we come before you with prayers for those who are sick, those who are hungry, those who are without a home, and those who bear the burden of hidden struggles. We pray today especially for all those whose lives have been impacted, scarred, broken, or traumatized by the residential school system. We ask your forgiveness for all that was done there, and we ask for healing and restoration for people and families and communities. We pray also for ourselves, that you might move in our spirits individually and together as a people of this land, that you would lead us in steps towards compassion, understanding, respect, and reconciliation. As you poured out your love in the Word, may we hear your Word and follow. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts lead us to you and help us to live in your way. God of mercy, we come before you, seeking to live as you command, but often failing. Help us to set down our vices and to take up your virtues so that we might truly know and trust in your love and reflect that love through our lives and in this world. As you poured out your love in the Word, may we hear your Word and follow. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts lead us to you and help us to live in your way. Gentle God, we come before you also, giving thanks for the many blessings you've given, the gifts of life, hope, faith, love, family, and friends. Help us to recognize and remember these every day, never taking them for granted, and remembering that each is a loving gift from you to us. Help us to live as people who know we are blessed and who answer your call to be a blessing to our world. We ask all of this in the name of Christ, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you again for your generous giving this week and your faithfulness in that giving. We continue to be blessed, and we continue to feel your encouragement to carry on with the work we are about. Will you join me in saying a prayer over all of the gifts that have been given this week? Gracious God, may the offerings brought this day be used as seeds planted faithfully and nurtured lovingly, so that God's way may be realized anew in this world. Grant us the humility we need to plant and then tend to your precious garden. Amen. Just one announcement before we are done for today. A reminder, as I said at the beginning of the service, that this coming Thursday, September 30th, is a statutory holiday and the day for National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. Along with our denominational headquarters and our regional headquarters, we have made the decision to close the church office for that day, to give us time to reflect and to pray and to listen for God's leading as we walk the road of reconciliation and commit ourselves to that. And so I encourage you to take some time on Thursday to do that. The office will be back open on Monday, and you can email us if you need anything, or always call me on my private line if you have an emergency. Friends, go now to will and to work for God's purposes. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Be filled with that same love and look to the interests of others. With reverence for God, work out your salvation. And may God quench your thirst with love and consolation. May Christ Jesus strengthen and encourage you. And may the Holy Spirit lead you on and make your joy complete. Amen. Jesus.